vacation on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O, the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special under the title of Holding Grudge in the View of Islam. You are listening to IRIB English Radio.
You could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.
Today, Friday, is the 28th of Shaban, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to Chapter Al-Ghafir, verse 35 of the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الذين يجادلون في آيات الله بغير سلطان أتاهم كبر مقتا عند الله وعند الذين آمنوا كذلك يطبع الله على كل قلب متكبر جبار.
Those who dispute concerning the signs of Allah without an authority having come to them, great is hatred of them in the sight of Allah and in the sight of those who have believed. Thus does Allah seal over every heart belonging to an arrogant tyrant.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question provides further exposition for those according to which Allah Almighty seals hearts. It is herein said that Allah Almighty seals up the heart of arrogant tyrants. Their failure to submit to truth is mentioned at the close of the verse, saying that thus Allah Almighty seals the hearts of the wrongdoing arrogant to the extent that their hearts are sealed up, that neither their foul contents may exude, nor may the right and invigorating contents be absorbed by them. This is today's special and holding grudge in the view of Islam. How do I get rid of my bad feelings towards someone? To answer your question, it is natural to have negative feelings towards someone who one was harmed by. These feelings are not sinful as long as they are not acted upon outwardly or inwardly. Inwardly refers to holding grudges against them, having bad opinions of them, being happy at the difficulty that befalls them, or being upset at the blessing granted to them, feeling superior to them, and so on. These are referred to as the destructive qualities of the heart. They are sinful and you should strive to work on them. It is important to note that nothing can occur of harm or benefit except with the decree of Allah Most High. If indeed someone was the cause of your difficulties, they are accountable. You, on the other hand, are only accountable for how you respond to this trial from Allah Most High. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasteen. Regarding holding grudge feeling hatred about someone or some people, one should be very careful in order not to develop these moral vices in him or herself, because in the long run they may inspire, such moral vices may inspire some people to commit some crimes. And we find that many people have been, for example, killed because of other people's feeling grudge or feeling hatred regarding them. And when we study the context and situation, it becomes apparent that perhaps one of the reasons was that the person who's already had one of the virtues in some places boasted of himself or herself that I am such a person, I know such a topic. I'm an expert in such a field. I am such and such a person. So we find that these moral virtues, as indicated in Islamic teachings, are for the whole community, both for the individual and the community, to live a peaceful life. Thank you.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Holding a grudge harms your physical health. Several studies over the years have proven time and time again that holding onto a grudge or just any resentful emotion can seriously harm our physical health. A study performed at Oxford University has stated that holding a grudge has been associated with heightened cardiovascular diseases. It was proven that being hostile influenced various test results when the subjects were asked about negative personal experiences. The result proved that individuals with high hostility were also at high risk for increased high blood pressure.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ ربنا رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
What should I do when someone doesn't forgive me? Dear brother, dear sister, change your mind. Yes, the first thing you should do is change your mind. In the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 263, Allah mentions that forgiveness is better than charity. While giving forgiveness to others, we will feel relieved. It is so for mental health, so that we can be spared of anxiety and guilty feelings. That feeling, just like after we read surahs in the Quran, that peace your soul. Good words and forgiveness are better than alms accompanied by hurtful action. God Almighty, most trustees.
الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله. The remembrance of Allah cleanses your soul, cleanses your heart. Then you wake up one day, you have no problem with anyone. With anyone, you have no problem. In fact, rather than cursing your enemies, you pray for them. It's a big difference, my friends. Big difference. It's a big leap between cursing them and praying for their guidance. Big difference. That is our imams. Our imams used to pray for their enemies. They would not curse them. They pray for them. This is one of the takeouts of the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, we have it, and you have it in your heart. Take it with you. Teach your children. Don't keep rancor inside, because your heart gets sick. And if your heart one day, la samahallah, God forbid, if your heart gets sick, you pay the price. You are the first casualty, not your enemies. You are the first casualty. You're going to have an ailing heart. And an ailing heart would not allow you to enjoy this life. It would not allow you to enjoy your family, your kids, your neighborhood, your friends, and others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow on our hearts and minds the best health, inshallah. And we have the power, the ability, the patience to take out the grudge, inshallah. And we can, those who hurt us, we can pray for their guidance. Every day of our life is a day of struggle between truth versus falsehood. between justice versus injustice, between goodness versus evil, between love versus hate. Every single day, every single day. I would not say once a week or once a month. Every single day we see and we observe and we experience this confrontation between the two camps. And God says paradise is not free. It's not free. You have to pay. You have to pay for it. God says in this verse in Surah Al-Imran, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. You suppose, you assume that God opens the gate of paradise for you and say, تَفَضَّلُوا. You are welcome. أَهْلًا وَسَهْلًا. No. He will do that, but after he knows, he makes sure that حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ. Those who really struggled in this life, they were steadfast. يَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And those who are patient. It requires a lot of patience. We have to decide where do we stand, with what group we stand. The group of the truth, justice, understanding, humanity, love, care, forgiveness, or the group of arrogance, the mutakabbirin, the occupiers, the oppressors, the arrogance. Which one? We have to decide. When we look at history, we find that standing with the people of falsehood is very easy. The easiest thing here is to side with the people of falsehood. It has many incentives, allurements, many stimuluses they give you to stand with the people of falsehood. Very easy. And to stand with the people of the truth is not easy. It's very difficult. It's very intimidating. In fact, it's very dangerous and it is very costly. But God says, this is the price we pay for paradise.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic. Till another episode, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Ali Imami. La fata illa Ali, Ali Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
The Lady of Light, the Prophet's immaculate daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, has been quoted in explaining the philosophy behind some of the basic tenets of Islam in the following passage. Never become angry with others and do not ask anything from them. Wish for the people whatever you wish for yourself.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful tradition and hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. And this hadith is about taking the fool as a companion. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, in his counsel to his son, Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, said the following: "My son, beware of taking a fool as a companion or mingling with him. Keep away from him and do not converse with him, for verily the fool is a lowly person, whether he is absent or present. When he talks, he exposes his foolishness. And when he is silent, he displays his inability to express himself. If he acts, he spoils. And when he is given responsibility, he fails it. His knowledge does not suffice him, and others' knowledge is of no benefit to him. He does not follow the one who advises him. His associates do not find rest from him. His mother wishes to be bereaved of him. His wife wishes to lose him. His neighbor wishes to live far from him. And the one who sits with him would rather be absent from his company. If he is the lowest in status, in the gathering, he abases those above him. And if he is the highest of them, he denigrates the others." It's a very beautiful hadith about taking a fool as a companion. And in this tradition, as we saw, the Imam alludes to some of the reasons why we shouldn't take a fool as a companion. And sometimes we have friends who are kind of foolish, kind of stupid, right? Why do we take them for friends? Entertainment, right? But, you know, they make us laugh. You know, we have fun with them. But we should beware of the fact that these characteristics that the Imam alayhi salam mentions in these traditions could, at a certain point in time, later on in the future, come back and haunt us. We're associated with this person, and this person is doing these things. Soon enough, those actions are also going to be related to us. If not performed by us, in other words, we might that foolish person might have an effect on us and make us foolish as well, and we might be doing these things and committing these things that this same foolish person, you know, does. You know, in general terms, friendship is something, a very important concept in Islam. And, you know, the idea of having good friends and proper friends is something which has been advised to us in a very famous verse of the Holy Quran. God Almighty says that on the day of resurrection, certain people will regret having bad friends while they were alive, and they will regret it and mention this regret openly on the day of resurrection. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at taking the fool as a companion in the words of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Okay, so respected brothers and sisters, welcome to the Let's Read and Recite the Quran Kareem with the students of Sevier International School. And these sessions, as you know, okay. Yeah, these sessions, as you know, these sessions are held by IRIB English Radio and also in cooperation with Sevier International School Networks and especially the students of Sevier International School. So let's recite a salawat and start our class. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum. So, respected brothers and sisters, as you hear us, we are going to start the level 2 of our Quranic sessions. In level 1 that we just finished in our previous sessions, we learned, alhamdulillah, learn how to read the Quranic Kareem. Now, I'm sure, inshallah, you are able to at least read the Quran, the Quranic words, the verses of the Quran. Does not matter if you do not have enough speed, okay, to read faster or like the reciters, okay? But in level 1, alhamdulillah, you at least learned how to read. Yes, learn how to read. In the last session of our level 1 Quranic sessions, I also told you something about how to develop our fluency, how to improve our fluency of the Quranic Kareem, right? I told you. And inshallah, today we're going to start the level 2 of our Quranic sessions. So, let me just ask our brothers here, our students here, that one question. Have they learned anything from the previous level 1
so
classes?
Much. So,
really?
That's all.
Okay, so I mean, was it useful for you?
So much.
A lot. Yeah,
did it help you a lot? Mm-hmm. Okay, I hope, inshallah, I hope so. I hope, inshallah, these classes that we just presented to you, I hope they were useful and you've learned something. Okay, In this level 2, there are some other rules, okay, that inshallah we will learn them after we finish level 2 of our class, okay? Level 2 level of our Quranic sessions, inshallah we'll start tajweed, okay?
Yes.
Because tajweed is very important. A lot of rules and like there are many things to study about how to read the words correctly. Sometimes, for example, you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina As-Sirata Al-Mustaqim, Sirata Al-Lathina An'amta Alayhim, Sirata Al-Lathina An'amta Alayhim. Why do you say An'amta? Can you say An'amta? Can you say An'amta? So these things, okay? Can you do these things or no? So these are, inshallah, we're gonna talk about them in Tajweed and level 3, okay?
Do we have level 4?
Inshallah.
Yes.
Inshallah, level 4 will be the recitation, okay? We will be practicing how to recite like reciters, inshallah, we hope so. So in this level 2, we will start with some important points about the alphabet letters, okay? We learned them, yes? Alphabet letters we learned, okay? The pronunciations as well we learned. And also the different forms of the alphabet letters as well we practiced, right? Now, alhamdulillah, you are able to identify any of those alphabet letters in any word of the Quran Karim. Yes or no?
Yes. Okay,
so let me read one ayah. Can you identify the letters or no? Maliki yawmiddin.
Maliki.
Maliki yawmiddin.
Mim, lam, lam,
ma,
kaf,
ma,
yawmiddin.
Ayn?
Where is Ayn?
Maliki Yawmiddin.
Yawm. No.
Wow. Maliki Yawmiddin.
Ya, wow.
Mim, lam, ye, ke, malik.
Okay, great.
Wow, malik, yawmiddin. Mim, de, ye,
no. Okay, now you can identify. So now, can you identify the harakat?
Yes.
Okay, just the short
vowels. Ma, two kasr on the
ki, yawmiddin.
Okay, two kasrat on the ki, on the
alif or ki, alif fatha, the lam and kaf,
but the meme has a fatha. Ma, li, ki, yaw,
middin.
Yaw has nothing, I think.
Okay, qul.
Qul.
Waw.
Qul,
lam.
Qaf, lam.
Lam,
and then waw. No, qaf, waw, lam.
Qaf, waw, lam. If it was waw qul, it would be qul.
No. Qaf, lam, and then dhamma.
Dhamma and a sukun.
Yes.
Qul, right?
Yes.
The next one, for example. Tab, bat.
Ta.
Fatah and ta.
No, okay, no. Ta. Ta, can I say? Ba is a sukun. Ba, tashdeed.
Tashdeed.
Tab, ba. Tashdeed and another fata tabba
bat
te tabbat sukun te sukun
great
tabbat
tabbat that's nice
yes,
very
we
good
that, but we need a paper to write.
So remember that in alphabet letters, okay, as I told you in level 1, it's very important to understand the sounds of those letters. So we talked about happy letters and awesome letters.
Awesome.
Okay. So how many letters were there that they produced an awesome sound?
Seven.
Eight.
Seven.
Eight or nine?
No, eight.
Let's count them.
Eight.
So the first one was? The first one was?
Ra.
Ra. It was Ra.
The first one was?
Ra.
It was Ra.
Ra. Great. How do you say Ra? The first one was not Ra. First one was?
Kha.
Kha. Yeah.
Kha.
Kha.
Ra.
So how do you say it?
Kha.
Do not say kham. When it has fatha or with alif maddi, you have to say kha. Kha. The next one was?
Ra.
Ra.
Ra. Ra. Ra. Next one?
Ka. Ta. 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 Ta.
Ka.
Qalbun bil haqq ta'allaq wa bi gharih ra'a ta'allaq yabki yas'alu khaliqahu فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So the next one was صاد.
صاد.
صاد. And then
ضاد.
The twin brother. ضاد.
ضاد.
Then the next one.
ضاد.
ضاد. And brother.
ضاد.
ضاد. And
And then I think
ya.
Qa. Qa. No, no, no.
Gha.
Gha.
Gha. And
qaf.
Qaf. Yeah, ghain and qaf. So when they have, remember, when they have alif maddi or fatha, yes, you have to kind of produce an awesome sound with them, not a happy sound. Don't say khalidina. Say khalidina. When you say khalidina, it's clear it's wrong.
Yeah.
When you say, for example, qala. It is clear it's wrong, yes? Yeah. So, for example, you say, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِ If you say مَلَاء, it becomes Farsi, Persian. There are a lot of people, okay, they know how to recite, okay? But when they come to recite, they recite it in Persian way. For example,
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
But it's Arabic. Okay, we have to be careful. It is Arabic, yes?
Okay.
Yes, it's Arabic.
Yes, it's Arabic.
It is Arabic.
It's Arabic.
Yes, you have to read in Arabic style, okay? Like, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Don't say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim.
I don't know if they this pronounce is wrong. Ayn and...
It is not wrong. It's not Arabic. It's called Persian, okay?
Persian Shaytun Ar-Rahim.
Okay, stop. Everyone just stop.
So,
Persian accent.
Please. Thank you.
Accent of
thank
Persian.
You. Okay, now one important point I want to tell you. It's about Aleph. It's about Aleph, okay?
Yeah,
about Aleph. So remember that Aleph, like in English, we have vowel letters and we have... We have vowel letters and also we have... consonant letters.
Consonant letters.
So in Arabic as well, we have alif as a vowel letter.
Yeah.
Vowel letter.
Oh, yeah. If you add alif, you don't need to add any.
Yeah. You use alif, okay?
Instead
alif. Sometimes you use wawi maddi, sometimes you use yai maddi. Why? To stretch the sound.
Yeah.
And we don't, you use alif to stretch the sound of the letters.
Yeah, and we don't need to put the harakat.
Okay, say ba with fatha.
Ba.
Ba. Ba. With fatha, ba. Only with fatha.
Ba. Ba. Ba.
Now put an alif, add an alif.
Ba.
Ba.
Ba. You stretch the sound.
Ba.
Jim.
Ja.
Ja.
Ja. Ja. Ja.
Put an alif.
Ja.
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 So remember that you use alif to stretch the sound. Be careful, okay, that inshallah when we start talking about Hamzatul Wasl, Hamzatul Qata, okay, it's very important to understand first what is an alif.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alif is
so remember that alif does not accept any harakat.
Yeah.
When it becomes necessary, we will add a harakat on the top of it or down. Okay. Or
alif has like Allah. It has
Allah. That's not harakat of alif. That's inshallah we'll study. That's hamzatul wasl. Okay. Hamzatul wasl. Inshallah we'll talk
about. You
didn't know. So remember that alif does not have a e u. The difference between alif is that alif does not have harakat, but what does it have when we see a e o on the top of alif? What is it? That's hamza.
Dash. Hamza.
That's
if you want
hamza.
To add alif, okay? If you want to give that's alif hamza. A haraka, you have to put a hamza.
Yeah. You have to put a hamza, and on the top of hamza or at the bottom of the hamza, you have to put the haraka.
So, but right? The hamza should be with it, not like this alif hamza then kasra down. The hamza also should be down.
Yeah, it is clear.
Yes.
So, did you get it?
Yes.
So, alif is used to stretch the sound of the letters. Okay.
So it's basically like mad.
Basically like mad, yeah.
But
you put
so
mad
much.
On the top of it mostly, yes?
But not so much. If you want
yeah.
to get
sometimes,
a mad, it's like for 10 seconds, like...
Four.
Sometimes you put one harakat, okay? One count, Like, ba with one harakat, ba. Sometimes two harakat, three, four, five, okay? Six harakat you have. Six counts, okay?
10.
For example, ja.
Ja.
So remember, inshallah, you will understand them, inshallah, when you practice the rules on the Quran al-Karim, okay? So we will start with Hamzatul Wasl, okay? Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qat. So remember that you will see two types of alif in the Quran al-Karim. Sometimes you see an alif which has the front part of Sad on the top of it. Have you seen alif?
Yeah.
Yes.
Take a look
yes,
at your
like this. Anin naba naba'il.
Anin naba'il azim. Suratul naba.
I found.
Yes.
So, go to Suratul naba, everyone. Suratul naba.
I don't know Suratul naba.
We have to skip that?
Amma yatasa'alun. I will tell you, inshallah. Should we skip it or no? Suratun Naba. Brothers and sisters, if you have a Quran with you, Suratun Naba. Amma yatasa'alun. So, take a look at Surah An-Naba. The first ayah is Amma yatasa'alun. There is one alif, right?
Mm-hmm.
One alif. Yatasa'alun. Does it have any harakat?
Just mad.
So it means it is used to stretch the sound, okay? It is used to stretch the sound. Yatasa'alun. But look, after yatasa, there is one hamza.
Yes.
So the hamza has a harakat.
Yeah.
Okay. Alun. Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International School Network, especially the students.
Yes.
Let's recite a salawat. Welcome back. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my dear guests, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Hussein, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam, glad to be here.
Welcome. Well, we are in this series of programs called Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, trying to criticize movies, not necessarily artistically speaking. We rather focus on the, let's say, the content and the religious themes in the movies and how much deviation you can find in such movies from reality, or what is known to be, in fact, the let's say the conventional, at least the doctrines and teachings of religion, particularly speaking Islam. But of course, this movie that we are trying to critique is Angels and Demons, and normally it is related to Christianity. Sayyid Abdullah, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, and then we'll be back, and I'll ask you the question.
Revenge for La Purga.
La Purga?
Jeez, you guys don't even read your own history, do you? 1668, the church kidnapped four Illuminati scientists and branded each one of them on the chest with a symbol of the cross, purged them of their sins, and they executed them. threw their bodies out into the street as a warning to others to stop questioning church rulings on scientific matters. They radicalized them. The Purga created a darker, more violent Illuminati, one bent on retribution. And look how they intend to finally get it, using antimatter, technology to destroy the church. Science obliterates religion.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie Angels and Demons, produced in 2009, directed by Ryan Howard and starred by Tom Hanks. Sayyid Abdullah, well, so much emphasis on numbers and symbols in all of the sequels, not only Angels and Demons, but also Inferno and the previous movie that we worked on, The Da Vinci Code, right?
Yeah.
Well, and what is interesting is that number four is highlighted throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, in that part, it says revenging four cardinals by branding them on the chest with four symbols of the cross. Why four, first of all?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Like you said, when it comes to numbers, each faith or each person has a certain meaning to it. Now, mm-hmm. if you look at Christianity, for example, or yes. the movie specifically, when they concentrated on the number four, obviously because number four, it has many significance in the Bible, amongst which it is the fourth day where God created the material world.
Mm-hmm.
So they call it the week of creation.
Oh.
I think they were trying to hint to that because the whole aim was it, you know, in the movie, they're trying to collide these two atoms together and create, I don't know, like a new universe or something. So from this experience. So the whole four, so they said, okay, if God created the universe in 4 days, we can also do the same thing. You know what I mean? But it's not going to take us 4 days.
Wasn't it 7 days? Because we always hear from the priests.
No, so 7 day, God created everything, and then he took a rest.
Uh-huh,
okay?
Yeah. Then
so,
he rested.
But, yeah, so, but they said in the Bible, according to the Bible, on the fourth day, God created the material world.
Uh-huh.
Like the sun, the moon, the earth. That was created on the fourth day. And also is the Sabbath day as well. So mm-hmm. it also holds a significance, for example, to the Jews.
Yes.
Obviously, Sabbath day is their holiday.
Yes.
Like a holy day, not a holiday.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah. So it has a lot of meaning. So with scientists, for example, the Illuminati's in this movie in particular, they said it took God 4 days to create the material universe.
Mm-hmm.
We can create it in a matter of seconds, for example. Just mm-hmm. two atoms, we just let them hit each other, collide, and then you have a universe. So it's more like a hint that if God can do it, we can do it. So maybe, I'm just saying maybe, that was like one of the reasons why they emphasized so much on number four. So with the priests, with the cross, everything relates to God
mm-hmm.
and his creation. So this is my theory, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have an opinion of your own.
Yes.
But okay, as far as I could tell.
Let's take another break and listen to another part of the movie, and then we'll be back and ask the question regarding that part of the movie, Angels and Demons.
I need access to the Vatican archives.
Professor, I don't think this is the appropriate moment.
Your petition has been denied 7 times.
No, this has nothing to do with my work. The Path of Illumination is a hidden trail through Rome itself that leads to the Church of the Illumination, the place where the Illuminati would meet in secret.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad hosting. And Brother Hossein, in that part of the movie, not only in that part only, but you can see it being or kept repeated several times. And that's, the secrecy behind Vatican. And it's been emphasized so much. You know, for example, the professor needs an access to the Vatican archives, but he's been denied 7 times, right? So why all this secrecy? And not to mention the number 7 again gets repeated, the number.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, I mean, I guess that is part of the symbolism, the whole 7 thing.
Yes.
But Like, we have to really go back and look at what he's trying to get from them.
Yes.
You know, the word secret, you know, the whole, like, the Vatican's secret archives, they're not, like, necessarily secret. Because the word secret actually comes from, like, a misunderstanding of the Latin word secretum, or private. So, like, these archives, I think, are really, you know, the church's, you know, paperwork, or, you know, all of these different things that they have, like treasures or, you know, secret books, not secret, but, you know, these important books that they have that they need to keep safe. So maybe they do have some of their, you know, quote unquote, dirty secrets or something that they're hiding. Maybe it's, you know, it's something that they did, or, you know, about the Illuminati or even aliens. Whatever it is pretty interesting. But I think the actual archive is just paperwork, mostly.
But they show it and portray it in movies, like when you get into the archives, there is a kind of, friction, sort of, you can feel between modernity and the old school stuff, you know, like the ancient books and the scrolls you can see at the background, you know, and the books which are so old, belonging to lots of scientists and the like, and also the priests and, you know, popes of the past, you know, and they tend to be very much old, but you can see they are guarded with new technology, state-of-the-art technology.
Yeah.
And this is somehow ironic, isn't it?
It is. It is pretty ironic. But I guess they have to take, you know, the measures to keep them safe.
Yes. Because
these are history. I heard every 75 years, like once a book reaches 75 years old, they keep it there so that, you know, it doesn't get ruined.
You mean they keep it as an antique or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. Let's take another short break and listen to a movie, and then we'll be back to discuss the movie Angels and Demons in this program, Viewpoint. Stay with us.
Back to the Vatican. You can't.
Commandante, if you care at all about your church, you'll listen to me.
My church.
My church comforts the sick and dying. My church feeds the hungry. What does your church do, Mr. Langer? That's right. You don't have one.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. Sayyid Abdullah, you know, there's a part in the movie we just played, and there is the talk or the dialogue between the professor and, the chief officer, basically. Well, the professor says to the chief officer, "You only care about your own church." It's very interesting. And the chief officer at the Vatican answers, "My church comforts the sick and dying. It feeds the hungry. What does your church do? You don't have one." It's deep and very intriguing. It tries to trigger some kind of emotion in people and let them, in fact, realize that maybe the results of science is not what they think they are. And this is basically, at least apparently, the result and the fruit of faith. Religion sometimes does that, right?
Yeah.
They try to help the sick. They try to bless them. They try to, you know, give a helping hand to other people rather than only the praying lips, you know? As Mother Teresa was referring to, you know. So are these really the results and effects of faith? Not to mention, this is something that I feel like the ups and downs between science and religion.
Well, I mean, there is no doubt that the statement he made, it has some truth to it.
Yes.
I mean, it's not totally true, but it has a lot of truth to it. Now, most religions...
The churches are very active.
Yeah, yeah. No, what I'm trying to say is that most religions, if not all of them,
yes,
they do emphasize on the fact that a person needs to be compassionate, loving and caring towards other fellow human beings. And the church, you see, especially now or even before, they play that role. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with Islam as well, with all religions. You see that people who are faithful, mm-hmm. They always tend to help people and try to feed the poor and feed the hungry and so on and so forth. They do all this God's work because obviously they're driven by their faith, obviously, and by the reward that God has preserved for them in the hereafter.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you can't deny the fact that religion plays a massive role,
mm-hmm.
especially be it the church or the mosque or the synagogue, that it pushes people towards serving their fellow human beings
yes.
without anything in return, like without asking for anything in return.
Yes.
So to this extent, it's true.
Not to mention the peace and quiet that it tries to give people internally.
Yeah, so obviously the spiritual aspect of it, obviously you can't deny that. So
yes.
If people follow it correctly, it tends to create that sense of harmony within people.
Yes.
Especially like, for example, if you take Islam as a system, as a person yourself, not only you're commanded and recommended to pay and help other people, but you're actually required to pay your taxes as well, like
qum,
zakah, or sadaqah to other people, which is like not a recommendation, but a duty, a wajib, a must,
yes,
a compulsory act.
Yeah,
so obligatory action. So you must give portion of your money to God, which obviously goes to people.
Yeah,
so
basically.
If people hold on to the faith and apply the faith, we're going to have a lot of quality.
Mm-hmm.
In the world.
Yes.
So the church or the mosque or religion definitely plays a role. But does that mean science does not play a role in that sense? Obviously not. So science does play a major role because science also contributes to the health of people,
yes.
to the betterment of people.
We have hospitals, we have bridges, we have schools.
Obviously without science, we would not have advanced to what we are now.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that we have to worry about is that when science becomes a tool to only making money, if it
right.
falls in the wrong hands.
Exactly.
It's not available to everyone. So, for example, in a lot of countries, even the advanced ones, even take America, for example, a lot of people can't afford medication.
Yes.
Now, that's a problem. So you say, well, I would rather go to church
yeah.
and pray to God to help me heal than go to a hospital that is going to charge me an arm and a leg,
yes.
which I cannot afford to pay.
Yeah.
So, yes, science contributes to the betterment of people, considering the fact it's offered to them as if at least free.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein, for being here in the studio for the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program. We try to criticize the movie Angels and Demons, produced in 2009. We have not finished it yet, and inshallah, and hopefully we try to do that in the upcoming episodes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the first sign.
What sort of sign?
Earth, air, fire, water. And the fifth sign.
May God forgive you for what you've done.
Father, if God has issues, they won't be with what we've done. They'll be with what we're about to do.
Our church is at war.
Hey!
This is the first marker. The path is alive. You're talking about the moment of creation.
Open the doors and tell the world the truth.
It has to be here!
This is it. This is the truth. Angels and Demons.
This is IRIB English Radio.